This is Frank Summers with Artima Developer. The following interview was recorded at JavaOne 2007.
I'm sitting here with Mark Thomas, who is Director of Java Technologies at IBM. And Mark, what do you think developers should be interested in the next year?
Well, one of the things that certainly my developers are very interested in, and I'm very interested in, and I think is of great interest and importance to our customers and the folks we work with as partners in the Java space, is what to do about applications that go wrong or systems that crash. So it's the whole area of reliability, availability, serviceability, some parts of the market call RAS, RAS. And I think that's a hugely important area because of the downstream impacts that it has. Recently I was out in China. I won't name the customer or go into too much of the details, but this was a client who were facing very occasional system failures, perhaps once a month, not much more often than that. But the implications, because of the nature of the customer's business and the nature of their customer's interactions, could affect tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people for days, even though the system downtime, through the magic of high availability, failover and those kinds of things, the system would only be down for a few minutes. But sometimes there can be huge downstream implications and issues that result from quite small failures. Again, you see it in financial systems as well, and you hear about Wall Street goes down and systems are unable to trade, and you never hear anything else for the next few weeks. So these can be very big events, even though there might be very small bugs or very small issues. Probably the common factor that comes out of all of that is that these are bugs that are found after, usually one would hope, extensive testing. So many good developers will do proper testing. They'll have the unit tests, and their company or their environment in which they're working will also have an integration test and fairly good user tests and very comprehensive sets of testing. But we still find failures that occur once you go into production. And these might be due to an environment change, or they might be due to some latent defect in some part of the stack. But usually the characteristic is that you won't find it by single stepping, and it'll come through an application, which a lot of good developers will do anyway before they release their code. And once you're in production, nobody's going to let you run a debugger in that production environment. So it comes down to how can you make it easy to find the root causes of those problems. Again, when you're dealing in, like in the Java space, one of the things that's so great about Java is it enables heterogeneity. So you can have multiple vendors, you can have multiple application providers, you may have a middleware provider who's a different vendor to the hardware provider, and your application provider or providers may come from multiple companies, and they're all interoperating through web services or through some kind of integration layer. So when you have a problem, how do you find it? And I think this is not a simple issue, again, because many vendors and many providers have their own ways of capturing data or logging information, and so the whole system from end to end is often not very well thought through and not very well integrated. So who suffers out of this? Well, initially it's the customer, the user, who suffers. And I had some other discussions not too long ago dealing with a similar kind of an issue, how to resolve a problem. And I explained to the customer that actually it was pretty easy for us in IBM to give some advice, in that the issue was probably related to the customer's application. And it would be very straightforward to do, and I explained how we could do this. And the answer from the customer, which again was very perceptive, was, well, I don't see why I should do 10 hours work, so you can do one. And it comes down to, often as vendors, we provide quite good tools from our perspective to help us find issues, but they're not always as easy to use for the customer. So it's perhaps an odd answer to a question about what should developers be interested in, but I think developers should be very interested in what happens to their software and their offering after it leaves their care, and how problems can be resolved downstream. And it's not a simple, easy problem to solve, because we live in a very heterogeneous world where all the pieces interact.
But by mentioning this problem, it kind of suggests that you have an answer to that problem. I think most developers would think of logging as a natural way to try to diagnose those problems. But obviously, logging cannot be enabled in production applications fully. So what is the solution?
I think maybe I set myself up too well there then. I think the solution is not dissimilar to the solution that we found to many other problems. And part of it is to say is I don't believe we have that solution ready yet, but I believe we have the means to arrive at that solution.
What are some of those means?
So perhaps one of the most exciting things about Java is that it is a virtual environment. And because it's virtualized, the vendor of the runtime environment, the person who provides the virtual machine, can find every object in every application that's running on that virtual machine. So we have the means, maybe not yet the tools, but we have a way to be able to identify every item that's in the system and to be able to analyze its state and to be able to report that back at the time of a failure.
Traditionally, many enterprises, the developer part of the application or developers are somewhat separated from those who maintain and manage the applications or deploy them. Do you see a trend towards developers getting more involved in the actual operational aspects of the application?
That's a very good question and a very good thought. I think we all should be. One of the things certainly that is a huge focus area for IBM, partly based upon customer feedback, and it relates again to that comment that I referred to about having to do 10 hours work in order to allow your vendor or your provider to solve a problem that may only take them a few minutes or an hour or two.
IBM is often thought of as a company that's interested in services, so that you would essentially... Companies essentially outsource services to IBM. And I'm wondering to what extent is it in IBM's interest to actually allow customers to manage the applications more? Perhaps it's not a very good question, but you mentioned this 10-hour to 1-hour ratio as an example. Do you see that companies want to be able to manage these problems themselves, or do you think that they would more interested in outsourcing the problem and let it be someone else's problem, using service-level agreements, for example?
So I think what's important out of all of this is that IT must always serve the business. And so the answer to that question will depend upon what the customer's business needs are. So in an area perhaps which is not critically differentiating for the client, the analogy might be mail services or catering services for an intellectual property company. Those are not core items. And the same analogies exist in the IT world. Some aspects of operations are clearly not core to a company's business. They are literally just like getting the offices cleaned or getting the mailroom to work. And those, yes, it's usually an economy of scale to have somebody else do that work when they can do that in a way that provides a lot of consistency across multiple companies, because you're not seeking to differentiate. But there are other areas and perhaps responsiveness to customers, or perhaps you're providing a service yourself where you do want to have intimate control. And I think it's important for us to be able to enable that and to release that control and to facilitate it. If we make it hard, then we make our customers unsuccessful, and we probably make their customers unsuccessful, which is not a good recipe for success for anybody in business.
What are some of the ways that developers can help the operational aspects of their applications? Are there specific programming techniques or tools that they should be looking at that would make it more easy to manage the applications in production?
Yeah, well, I think, again, using standards and using a common approach to the way that you go about managing your applications. One of the things that we've just been doing in IBM with the Tivoli line of business is essentially re-engineering all of the technologies there so that they are based around our standard WebSphere middleware. So there's a lot of commonality there, that everything that runs in that space is essentially as a WebSphere application. Now, this is a good thing for us, obviously, because we're eating our own cooking. But it's also, I think, a good thing for our clients who may also be using WebSphere-based technology. But even if they're not, we have a consistent approach now that enables everything to operate using the same standards that WebSphere supports, based around Java and based around web services and XML and all of those technologies and database technologies. So there's a lot of commonality there, which reduces the cost of operations and administration, and actually reduces IBM's cost of development as well. So everybody wins.
You mentioned earlier that Java applications are perhaps easier to manage because they run in a virtual environment, and that's really enabled by the virtual machine. What are some of the new features in IBM's virtual machines that make manageability easier?
All right, thank you. That's a great question too. So IBM actually has a tool that extends beyond the Java space called IBM Support Assistant. And you can think of this as being an analogous. We're all familiar with Eclipse and how it works for a development environment. Well, IBM Support Assistant provides the capability of plugging in diagnostic tools and capabilities, which may be specific to a product, but which all operate within a single framework. So one of the things that we've been doing is developing capabilities for Java debugging, usually post-mortem debugging, because there are great tools around already in Eclipse for allowing you to single step through applications and do, you know, application level debug. But we've got a tool that we've released earlier this year, which allows you to analyze your memory usage. So it gives you a view, an interactive view with graphing tools into the heap, and allows you to see your heap usage and to analyze what parts of your application are driving heap usage and any issues that come up with garbage collection. We've got a number of other tools perhaps that also relate to that, that allow you to identify which parts of your application are using what memory at what time. And we've got similar tools that we're working on to allow analysis of deadlocks for threads, so we can assess, again, whether it's an application or whether it's some other part of the system or somebody else's application that's actually holding the locks that might be causing a deadlock.
One of the themes of this year's Java 1 is sort of a renewed interest in real-time Java, but in a different context, and that's the context of business applications that require some guaranteed level of service. What are some new IBM technologies that would address the real-time space in the enterprise environment?
Yeah, so we've just recently released WebSphere Real-Time, which is a product which implements the real-time specification for Java, JSR 1. But a core part of that technology is a real-time garbage collector, which provides for predictable or deterministic garbage collection times that are settable or controllable by the end user. So if you need to have a 20 millisecond guaranteed garbage collection, a maximum time, then we can support that. Obviously, there are throughput costs as a result of doing that, because nothing's free in a system. But the exciting thing about this technology is that it's not limited to the RTSJ space, but it could actually be provided just as another means of another garbage collection algorithm, just as we have generational garbage collection and other kinds of garbage collection technology. So the thing that a lot of people in the industry will call is soft real-time. But to me, the appeal of that and the interest of that is that it brings a measure or a level of real-time capability. Maybe not the highly deterministic, down to the microsecond, but sufficient for many kinds of applications. Brings that to the average Java programmer without having to become familiar with the use of scope memory and no-heap real-time threads and a lot of these other techniques, which are very important and very useful, but which may not be needed for your average Java programmer or Java program or application space. And again, there's, I think a key point is that a lot of the value proposition of Java is write once, run anywhere. And if you want to move to a real-time application space, you don't really want to have to rewrite it in order to put in specialist or specialized commands, unless you need to. Of course, there are some application spaces where you do need to do that, where you need that very fine-grained level of control.
Do you see some of the technologies in this real-time WebSphere VM to eventually migrate into some of the mainstream VMs that developers will use in general purposes?
Very much so, where they are migratable. I mean, obviously, features like scope memory or no real-time threads, we don't yet have a class library that is able to operate without heap usage. But again, with the right level of garbage collection management and control and predictability and policy determination, it should be very possible to reach much higher levels of determinism, much lower levels of unpredictability than we currently have. And this would be very important and useful in areas like telecoms, industrial automation, as well as the obvious one that you mentioned, financial.
In conclusion, I'd like to ask you a little bit about tooling. What are some of the new technologies from IBM that would make it easier to create more manageable applications in terms of tooling? Obviously, the main tool there would be Eclipse and tools built around that.
One of the areas that I think is very exciting in tooling is the whole area of model-driven development.
What's that?
Okay, so this, again, it's partly driven by the focus that we have on service-oriented architectures, which is the alignment of your IT with your business. Quite often in the past, if you buy a shrink-wrapped application, you will remodel the way that your business works in order to make use of the shrink-wrapped application. That's not to say that's a bad thing, because quite often computer programs will help people to operate in a more organized function. You just think of a spreadsheet, you know, or even just a word processor and use it using a template. But I don't believe, and I think it will be something that the world will prove out, that having every business operate in an identical fashion is going to, in the end, to yield the most successful businesses. We all know that businesses that succeed are innovators. And so in order to innovate, it's very important to be able to remodel your IT operation to suit what you need from a business perspective. And one of the tools and the ways that IBM is helping customers do that at the moment is to do an analysis of the business, not to go into the DP center and say, let's show you how to run your computers more efficiently or at lower cost or with better hardware or faster or anything else, but we start with the business. What are the differentiating aspects of your business and what's important to you? And then, just as we spoke about earlier, understanding the areas where people want to differentiate and where they want to be able to take leadership in a particular area. Then when you understand that, you can work on creating services within your business. I'm talking about business services, not necessarily yet IT services, but modeling areas where you provide the best of breed, the best in the world, the most competitive capability out of your business acumen and your business expertise. And then by aligning the IT operations that you have with that business aspect, you can create an encapsulated piece of IT capability. You know, it might be something to do with managing your relationships with customers. It might be to do with fulfillment. It might be to do with something to do with a financial aspect. One of the beauties of this approach is that you can abstract it into the business domain. And as you have those different kinds of aspects and you have an IT service then that encapsulates that capability, then you can focus on driving that to be the best that it can. But once you have that encapsulated capability, you can model that. It can become a component within a system. You can model your business, not just model your IT domain, but you can model your business. And then with the right tools, you can then transform that model of the business, which might be represented in UML or some other kind of modeling language. You can transform that all the way down to the code level.
Do you see a changing role in how developers get involved in this business modeling and business analysis?
Yeah, I think that's certainly going to be a challenge for the traditional developer. That's not to say that the traditional developer will go away. We're still going to need great user interfaces. We're still going to need efficient database access. We're still going to need process management and a lot of the things that go on inside an application. But I think one of the things that will differentiate the programmer of tomorrow will be the ability to look at the business domain and to translate business needs and business capabilities into IT features and functions. And that translation, which you could call a business analyst or an IT analyst kind of role, is going to be something that I think we're all going to need to learn to be a lot better at in the future. But the good news is that there are tools available to help us do that, to help us visualize these roles, to help us visualize the inputs and outputs of these processes, and then to help us map those to, again, a very simple analogy, but to a web service. So we're all familiar with having a web service perhaps that provides a stock quote or something else, but there are tools available that will enable us to map any kind of IT function into any kind of a business requirement.
Thank you very much.